Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to this here Nerdist Podcast number 707. I am performing in Montreal this weekend just for laughs. July 25th, Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Olympia Theater. You can get tickets at funcomfortabletour.com. I won't be in Canada again until the fall, and then I believe it's Toronto for JFL. So come out and see the show in Montreal. I don't know if people are really... I mean, I know some people in Canada are familiar with my work. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know At Midnight Air is up there and the podcast is up there. But to be honest, I don't know if anyone's going to show up at this Montreal show. So if they do, great. If not, then I'll make fun of it myself. I'll make fun of myself. I won't make fun of Montreal for not wanting to come out and see me. That's not their fucking fault. Check that out, funcomfortabletour.com. Also on the Nerdist Community Corkboard, this is from Alric Bursell, and he writes, "Hi, I have a podcast that I host with a fellow independent filmmaker, Timothy Plain, called Making Movies is Hard. We are both independent filmmakers still trying to figure out how to get paid to make narrative films, and this podcast is the voice of the indie filmmaker who is making their films and telling their stories, but still struggling to get noticed in the business or simply get their film seen." So check that out. Also, the Nerdist School is open for improv, sketch, storytelling, other comedy classes for almost 2 years. And so go there. Go to Nerdist.com/school and sign up. Learn some stuff. Learn some comedy. This is a hostful episode. Hostful episode. Our sort of Comic-Con wrap-ups, all getting together. Matt just got back from a long trip, so it was fun to sit down with the old sister wives and catch up. Find out how everything went for them. You can follow Matt's trip to Finland on Instagram. It's just a lot of pictures of different types of drinks that they have over there and left-handed guitars. So this is a wonderful, wonderful catch-up with the sister wives. Here's the Nerdist Podcast number 707, Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Someone looks like they just got back from Finland.
No, I just came from...
No, not you.
Oh.
Matt.
No, John looks like that.
I always look like I came back from Finland.
It is rough. That time change is rough.
10 hours.
Yeah, that's not... It was 9 from Austria, and it just flips you enough that you can't... Right? That it takes about a week to get over it.
Well,
it,
what really kind of fucked me was waking up at... I had to leave my hotel at 4:20 in the morning, Finland time.
4:20!
Yeah, bruh.
Another night hotel, getting in a cab.
Yeah, we were vaping in Finland.
Paranoid in the security line.
So like, what if they know? What if they know? What if they know? They know. They know.
What if they know I've been to Helsinki? What if they know I've been to Helsinki?
Oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah, and then I was up for 27 hours
just to try and.
No, it was the travel.
Yeah.
Because I had to fly to Heathrow, and then I was there for 6 hours.
Blah.
And then you get on the plane, and that's an 11-and-a-half-hour flight, and the flight crew was late because they were having trouble getting through security at Heathrow. And then we finally got there, and then we flew in to the fucking thunderstorm city.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to circle a few times. Then we get to the gate, and then it's an American Airlines flight, so you get to the terminal, and then it's not the international terminal, so you have to get out, go get on a bus.
Oh, yeah.
Then the bus takes the international terminal, and then you have to show your passport 95 times before you can finally get
which
back to
always
the thing.
Seems like it's, you've done – you'd never feel confident going through a custom line. At least I don't.
At home, I feel fine. In Finland, I feel extra fine because they're like, what are you doing? Oh, you say whatever, and they're like, cool. Stamp. There's like one guy there in Finland. Like,
I got stopped. I got put in a separate room last time I went to Montreal. Mm. It was a bummer. It was like, I was like, here's the paperwork. And they're like, I don't know about this. And then like, I had to sit in this room forever.
Oh, you don't ever
and then
tell
someone
them.
Came in. They're like, what are you doing here?
No, you're supposed to.
No, don't tell
you
them what
the,
you're doing.
You have the Just for Laughs paperwork.
Yeah, the paperwork.
Hey, don't worry about that. Just tell them your hotel you're going to and that you're leaving on this day and that you're visiting.
And then tell them to shut up and don't worry about it. And then you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell them I'm here for the business of pleasure.
Yeah, did you have fun in Finland at least?
It was.
Yeah, what were your days like?
Well, it's every day in Finland feels like 2 days.
Can you talk about what you were doing
Absolutely.
In Finland?
Absolutely. I was doing some podcasts. Wired is going to be putting out with Nokia. There's this initiative Nokia is doing called Make Tech Human. So they're doing a series of podcasts that I'm hosting for them. And we went out there to record a few podcasts out there. With some Nokia executives, some people in the Finnish tech industry.
It's not finished. There's still plenty of...
Oh, boy.
Like, I had to swallow. I had to taste it. I had to move it around my mouth a bit, see if I liked it.
Yeah.
It was a conference going on, though, right?
Yeah, well, there's this thing they do out there called the Suomi Arena, which is...
You're not going to do anything with Suomi.
I want to do so bad. I know, well, but I don't want to get I don't want to be this annoying right off the bat. I swear to God, I want to
Suomi Arena.
If it was in the town of Pori.
Oh, I want to do it so bad. It hurts. Keep talking.
And there was a jazz festival at the same time. Yeah, so we went. Suomi Arena is this thing, this festival where the whole town, there's like stages all over the center of town. Think of it as Just for Laughs with a bunch of outdoor stages. And instead of comedy, they're debating what's going on and what's wrong with Finland at the time. It's Finnish people.
Oh, so it's like
it's Finnish people casually debating. It's like social. It's like
it's
a social
just
event.
Just for serious?
Yeah. It's an interesting
just
thing.
For
and then,
just for gaffes?
Just for gaffes.
It's just Gaffigan's festival just for gaffes.
Yeah.
See, we're all doing it.
Each of his kids performs.
Yeah. I got to show you. Neil Mahoney sent me like this video. In the rain, he's driving by a tow truck that's carrying a bus that has a huge Jim Gaffigan show ad. On it. So I put Hello Darkness My Old Friend. Sounds of Silence.
That's great. So it was interesting. It was I did a few days in Helsinki, a few days in Pori, and then came back to Helsinki, spent 2 days in Helsinki. Hung out with a fan of the Nerdist.
There's
a few out there, but
three of them.
This guy, it's a dude named Cormac who's Scottish, but lives in Finland because his wife's Finnish and they have kids in there, all doing the Finnish thing.
And they want just tons of free healthcare.
But he still works out of like Glasgow. He's a marine biologist.
Oh wow!
Like
crazy.
It's like it was very fascinating.
So he has three kids. So clearly he liked to finish in his wife. Nope, not so much.
Didn't like that one.
What? Why not?
So many other opportunities.
You're making a sour face.
Yeah, I feel like he could have done better.
I feel like. Damn it.
That was a warhead.
It wasn't horrible. It wasn't a total.
Did I Helsinki the ship? Come on, guys.
I like that. I like that one.
Getting better.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where's Kyle to laugh at all these jokes you're making?
Where is Kyle?
He's doing his open mic.
Oh.
Damn Kyle and his own dreams. I'm not paying you to fulfill your own dreams.
But yeah, he was a real cool guy, and we talked about he's like into data analysis. So we just discussed his love of fantasy sports and how to like break the system of fantasy baseball stats,
Moneyball,
which was fascinating. And then what's weird about Finland is every day feels like 2 days because of just like there's 19 hours of sunlight.
Oh my god!
So you finish up dinner, and it's like
you're doing it
9:45.
Now you're getting the hang of it.
And that's what it looks like outside.
That's
it
crazy. Like so that. You kind of have to, if you don't keep track of what you're doing,
well, plus,
you'll like all of a sudden
I wasn't quite adjusted to the time, and there weren't great blackout curtains in the hotel we were staying at.
Oh, man.
So
you'd think that would be...
Like, right.
Yeah.
So I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
and then
I was just in time for
420.
That's the air horn.
We were giggling to ourselves that that you were in Finland. And a lot of your Instagram was like pictures of bottles of things.
Well, I found the drinks there fascinating. Favorite thing about it, because it was all just like,
I was hoping for such, like, I was like, man, Matt's gonna go to Finland. He's gonna be by himself. Probably be taking a lot of pictures. Probably see a lot of cool stuff.
It's like a wall of guitars.
Just guitars. A can of something.
AC/DC.
AC/DC. And there was like the Slayer drink and an Iron Maiden drink and a Simpsons banana soda.
Did you try it?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. But banana I took a ton of pictures, but they're for me.
I know. But I'd love to see some of them.
I will gladly show you. But yeah, no, it was an interesting experience and a hell of a flight. The Finnish people are lovely, and they all speak English, which is
amazing.
Did
you get up on the long flight this time?
No.
You know, it's not healthy.
Oh, I stood up to throw something out.
There you go.
Yeah.
I remember you boasting and bragging about your, like, 10-hour flight to London. Didn't get up once. I was like,
thrombosis.
That's like real dangerous.
I didn't use the bathroom. I had, like, the last hour and a half, I kind of was like, oh, I kind of got to go. And my seat was right next to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And
not so much about the bathroom as much as it is just the blood flow.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. We did those two podcasts. And you guys were great, by the way. And thank you for covering the Nerdist panel when I had to go do the other one.
No problem.
I heard it was great. And Matthew, we finished the second podcast at about midnight, maybe? 12:30?
Yeah, we're probably, yeah.
And Matt got in a car, drove back to Los Angeles to his house, got his stuff, and went to the airport.
Yeah. What I imagine is that you drive in, you walk into your house, you pick up your suitcase, kiss Dory on the head, and just turn around and walk away.
It almost was like that.
Yeah.
But she got up to drive me because she's awesome. And her friend was staying with us, and there was a dog in the house, which I was not. I knew it, but I was, you know, Preston's dog. Preston and
Oski Beans is staying with you?
Oski Beans was with us.
Oh, Oski Beans.
So she was the dog was just like, I was just putting on, I was like changing in my office, and then this little tiny dog walks into my, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Because it was so late.
You think you already have sleep deprivation?
Like, so late already. I was like, what is happening?
All the people in the world, because at first I was kind of worried about you driving, but of all the people in the world, the guy who spontaneously just goes to Vegas in the middle of the night, I was like, oh, he's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty, that night at that time of night,
it was a good traffic free drive.
Yeah,
there was a little bit of traffic on the 5 where it like went down to one lane.
Oh, we get it. You talk about directions. Sorry, I'm just being the internet for a second.
But today I'm like super drained, extra drained, because like I got in Saturday night. Dory and I went to dinner. She left early Sunday morning. She's gone for 2 weeks now, so I saw her for like 5 hours.
420.
And then last night, spontaneously, I was like, oh, let me get tickets to the Red Sox game. I went to the Red Sox game last night. It got rained out, and they replayed it at 2 o'clock today. So I drove to Anaheim today.
Sorry, did you see my comment? I commented on your picture, saying I'm worried about you getting back up here in time for the hustle.
I did it. I made it. Thank you.
Yeah, you did.
How was the baseball game?
I had great seats.
Yeah, right behind the home plate.
Right behind home plate. So I was probably on TV just...
Someone did comment that on your feed, too. It's like, are you in a blue shirt? You're on TV!
Yeah, I had to have been. I was right behind the... But
you're not wearing a blue shirt.
I was. I changed because I was so fucking sweaty. The sun was just beating.
You know, that's the thing. It's because we went to Disneyland on Saturday with Jonah and Emily and Lydia and Dee. And I was kind of bummed at first because it was raining. I'm like, oh, of all days, we all decided to go to Disneyland.
That's the best.
It's awesome.
And it turned out to be the best because... It was the temperature was so wonderful outside, and when the rain was done at about 6 p.m., just cool breeze all night long.
It was pretty balmy when the rain first started, though. It was like this
because the heat like starts
like in Disney World.
The ground starts cooking, and so you get the. But then afterwards, because when we left the hotel the next day, it was 97 degrees outside, and it just felt like, oh my god, this would have been terrible running around the park in this heat.
But that's I love rainy Disneyland days.
It was fun, and it also like it made it like an interesting trip to Disneyland.
It was fun. We had our ponchos on, and we were just wet the whole time.
Yeah,
except I will say, I posted a picture on Instagram of us. We rode California Screamin', which we thought would be fun in the rain, and was so fucking painful.
So fast.
Because the raindrops were like little needles hitting
you. They were big,
right? Ow.
Yeah, because it was that morning it was hailing in Echo Park. Crazy. So it's like these were solid pieces of water.
But like watching
Chubby
that,
Rain.
What's amazing is the Chubby Rain. Chubby Rain.
That movie's so good. That movie's so good.
Chubby Rain. That was available on the flight.
Disneyland was so much fun, and I took a picture of the doorbell to Club 33. So one day we'll get up there.
You still haven't gotten in there?
No, it's not.
It's expensive.
It's not even the expensive part. It's just that it's very, and it's one of those things. Like, it's one of those things that it's working on me. Like, the more that it's difficult to get in, the more I'm like, I gotta see what's up there.
Yeah,
it's gonna be amazing.
Well, it's so funny because Chris kept on asking our guy, like, and saying, and so like, it's like, what's with the wait list? I've heard about this wait list. You kept on like, kind of.
I was poking around for information.
Yeah,
I was poking around for information. But I don't know.
Is there no Disney stock in the Hearst Holdings?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I didn't ask.
I think you should check in on that.
Lydia was there. She didn't say.
Well, she's probably not aware of all their holdings.
Because we went to...
I tried to buy her a water, and she says, nah, it's cool. And I was like, namaste.
We went to Hearst Castle last week right after Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful.
It's a beautiful place.
It's a gorgeous, beautiful
built
place.
Built on yellow journalism.
I mean, it's it's a beautiful place where every piece of that castle, it's like a high-end architectural salvage because there's so many pieces of other castles that are in it.
Oh, okay.
So they built
it. So he had that property, had it.
His father had it.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, started construction, I think, in 1919 and built for 30 years until he died. And then when he died, his last wish was that it be untouched from after he died.
Wow.
So it actually – they'd worked on it for 30 years. It's technically not finished, but it's so fucking stunning. Every little thing is something
purposeful.
Incredible. It's like if you had one of anything in that – property, you'd be like, wow, look at this treasure.
Yeah.
And so just to have that everywhere.
Well, he had massive ship container ships coming in with like antiquities from all over.
Yeah.
He was constantly
had to deal with
collecting.
Noah.
Yeah, they had there's an abandoned zoo there that was abandoned in 1937. And they had they had grizzly bears and like all sorts of wildlife and
they
then
had to take them all for the war effort.
And then they then they had zebras just wandering the property, and the zebras actually survived. So there's a herd of about 100 zebras that just runs around the property. So we saw zebras in the morning and then went down. There's a cove on the other side of
the
highway.
Zebras in the evening.
Zebras at supper time. and then we watched gray whales just breaching in the cove. So it was a pretty – having a week off was amazing.
What's the Colombian drug lord?
Scarface?
No, that Vince Chase.
Escobar?
Yeah. Vinny Chase was in that movie based off of him. Medellin.
I never saw it.
Yeah, that's a reference to Entourage. But
good job.
Pablo Escobar. you guys seen Ballers yet?
Dream Large, man.
No, I haven't watched it. How is it?
It's Sports Tourage.
Sports Tourage. That's as high a compliment as any can pay.
Yeah. But
you've done it again, Wahlberg.
He had a ton of, he had like a whole huge zoo with all kinds of crazy exotic animals. And then when the feds raided his compound, they just all got out. So there's just like crazy amounts of weird animals in that area.
Well, that's like the parrots
in Pasadena.
In Pasadena and Burbank because of that.
They come down to Hyde Park, too.
And then in San Francisco, there's parrots in San Francisco, too, near the
Is that also because of the Transamerica fire?
I don't know, but the... on Kauai, there's wild chickens because of the hurricane.
Yes. Yeah,
that
and
just
donkeys.
Blew everyone's chickens everywhere, and they were like, "Well, I don't know whose chickens are these," because they're and so they're just. It's so weird to walk through like a forest in Kauai and then just hear a clucking and look up in a tree and see a fucking wild chicken.
Yeah, and then also on the Big Island, donkeys, wild donkeys because of a place, a hotel
had them.
That's actually how like my uncle died when I wasn't around yet, but like my uncle died in a car accident because of a wild donkey.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Like just
he let the donkey drive.
Yeah, it was a big mistake, and it's the shame of our family.
Matt, God. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Toons is the driving donkey.
It's really just the funny vision of that donkey, like Jonah's. I imagine Jonah's uncle looks just like Jonah, and he's just like, you drive donkey.
Good one. Look out for that other donkey.
The irony of a donkey hitting another donkey.
In a car, yeah. Driving a car. Yeah.
We're sorry, much. Jonas Family.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I do apologize.
A long time ago.
Okay, good. So it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. The Statue of Limitations has...
the Statue. Yeah. You 12 letters are all right.
Obsessed with that 12. The tiny alphabet.
That is ridiculous.
Well, it's not, you know. It's because there was a language set up already, and then they just had to, like, force the Western alphabet on top of it, and that's just how it worked out.
What did you do for the week off?
Every week is week off. I don't work on your show.
Oh, okay, great.
Neither do I.
I work. I did some auditions, went to some meetings.
What did you do for my week off?
Yeah.
did you celebrate Chris's week off?
Yeah, oh, man. Well, it's a big time for my family.
Sure.
When Chris gets a week off, just to see that he's happy. I got like a last minute like audition thing I had to send in. A guy that I worked with a bunch at G4, Greg Bishop, mm-hmm. who was like the editor I used on almost all Web Soup sketches.
Yeah.
He's shooting a movie and like, he's like, hey, someone like the casting kind of got messed up. Would you want to, you have to put yourself on tape, but like by tomorrow.
Could you jerk off in a gym for me?
Yeah. It was really weird request. And he just had me upload it to a YouTube. He says that's how they're doing the cast thing, and I was like, cool. Oh, "All right, so that's there now."
Sweet.
But that was it's for a horror movie, so there was like two funny scenes, and then there was one like really fucked up scene that was like real hard to pull off.
Yeah,
it was just it's a neat story. I don't want to give anything away. Not that I got it, but like just for them, but like it's like, you know, it's this guy. At this weird kind of crazy mystical bar, and he takes this shot and like it implants a memory of like someone murdering somebody, like a little girl in his head. And he just starts throwing up and like freaking out. And he's not sure if it was him or not. Like it's this real weird thing. And like, I'm, you know, sitting in my kitchen crying and fake puking and sweating. And
well, what'd you do for the movie?
What did Ruby do?
Yeah. Then I started to do the audition. but yeah, that was a tough one.
How was the meltdown at Comic-Con, by the way?
Oh, it was a blast.
Did you have fun at Comic-Con?
Yeah, I always have fun at Comic-Con.
Good.
My heart gets so overwhelmed with all those people just having fun.
So nice. I was so almost overwhelmed with work this year because I can't.
I think you were overwhelmed with work.
I think I took too many panels, but they were all really good. I couldn't say no.
Yeah, how can you?
But we had the Nerdist party was really, the carnival was really great,
was fun.
And everyone was really. I was so proud of everyone at Nerdist as a company, and Geek and Sundry, and Amy Poehler's company, and Legendary for. I don't know. It was just the vibe over there was really good and positive and nice, and people were like, it was so.
It was a good party.
It was overwhelmingly emotional to see everyone coming together and having fun, and people that you don't ever get to see that hanging out, and just, I don't know. And the podcasts were really fun, and the stand-up show was fun, and all the panels were fun. And
yeah, it was a good time. And we had the Nerdist panel, Nerdist podcast panel,
yep.
Which was a lot of fun, too.
What else did you have to do?
At Comic-Con?
Yeah.
I did... opened up for my buddies, the Impractical Jokers.
Yes.
On Friday night, we did that panel on Friday. Saturday, I filled in for you on the panel because you had to run over to Michael Madsen's funeral. And then we did the shows. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty much what I did.
This is one of my
goal was to not be there very long. I wanted to just, ideally, what I would have done was gone in for the shows and left.
It honestly felt like...
But then the Friday shit happened, and then I was staying 9 miles
away. It felt like one five-day-long day to me. It all went so fast, and I felt like, you know, the one good thing that I didn't have to do this year was get up super, super early.
Yeah.
So I was still getting up at 9, which was nice. If I had to do any... Just because the days were so long, but it was really insane. And I also just want to announce that... I know I announced this on the panel, but our friend Shaddy... who runs Puny, who came on the podcast, was one of our podcast guests a while back.
Yeah, great guy.
You announced it on here.
What?
We announced it in here.
Did we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did I already announce the Puny thing?
Last, yeah.
Well, then never mind.
I mean, say it again. I mean, it's fine.
But I bought half a Puny.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I love Shaddy and I always want to make cartoons.
All right,
like that.
Boom.
Boom.
Pow. Bang.
Boom. Pow. Bang.
This Comic-Con was one of my favorites because it was you know, for so many years, I would always like just try and hustle to get there. And then it was like hustling to find, you know, a pass. So I would like work for different shows to get hotel rooms, you know, just to be able to stay down there and go to and be down there and go to the floor and stuff like that. But this was like, you know, so I'd do like G4 or break.com or all these things where I'm like talking to people and running around and interviewing other people. And this was the first Comic-Con where I was brought down there to talk about my stuff, like the Meltdown and stuff like that. And that was like a really awesome thing. Like that was like the first time where it's like I was going from one interview to the next for people to ask me about my stuff that I'm working on. And that was probably like my favorite part.
That's
of
that. That's rad. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's really cool. Cause like so many years of just like, you know, and I'm grateful for all the like the jobs I, you know, picked up and all the things I did. Cause it was like a blast and I got to go down there and, you know, and do stuff for like stuff. But it was like neat to just kind of, it's like, oh, now this person's going to ask me about the TV show that I worked really hard on, stuff like that. So
that's
that was
really cool.
Yeah.
And congratulations on season 2 of The Meltdown.
Thank you.
I had one almost kind of bro moment, and I'm embarrassed about it, which so I guess
what
I should talk
mean?
About it. I mean, I was running around. I was almost late to everything, and in the case of the podcast, I was just flat out late because the panel that I was moderating went over. And during Comic-Con, there's no easy way to get from Hall H up to the Balboa Theater. It's like 6 or 7 blocks.
Pedicab.
Well, that's ultimate. Well, no, I ran the whole way.
Yeah.
I ran. So the panel for the podcast, the Fox panel ended at 7:45. Our show started at 7:30, but there was just no way to make it work. The Fox panel was two hours long.
You could have said no to Fox.
No, why would I do that?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? I got to. By the way, I have to say, the showing the Deadpool trailer, like that Deadpool part of the Fox panel, was so – it's one of my favorite things about Comic-Con because I think when people see Star Wars or they see X-Men or whatever, they expect, well, this is going to be like amazing. And so they're all in a super charged up about that. But when you see an audience get surprised by something, their level of starting low and then fucking exploding. And so – the lights went out and there was a little bit of a filmed message with Ryan Reynolds in a library chair, like in a, you know, like in a fancy,
in a study.
And, that was the word. And then it ends and he appears and everyone went crazy. And then, so he came out and TJ and the director and a couple other people from the movie. And it was just, the energy was so, people were so excited about Deadpool. And so we showed this like teaser trailer and people fucking leapt to their feet at the end. Ah! Like they
That's
were shitting
awesome.
Their pants so hard. And then they started going, play it again, play it again. And so normally in those panels, you kind of know in the back of your head, like, oh, well, you know, like Walking Dead. Well, let's play it again. Cause you know, it's the first time they've gotten to see it. But there was no plan to play the Deadpool trailer again. And people were like, play it again, play it again. And I was like, wait, I don't have any control over what happens here, but fuck it. I have a microphone, play it again. And people were so happy. And it made me so happy to see, also to see TJ up there. And he cracked everyone up. And it was really great to be a part of that.
That's so cool.
But so I ran from that panel. It's just my assistant Michelle and then a security guy, some poor security guy that was like didn't know he was going to be sprinting.
Oh, no.
We ran from the back of Hall H and we're running. And when Hall H lets out, there's just it's just a sea of people.
Yeah.
So we ran around and did something we were not supposed to do. This was our fault. But we ran. There's a little road outside of the convention center and it's for buses. And you're not supposed to run in it because you don't want to get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
But we were so late. I mean, like, legitimately, when I got out of the panel, I got the text, Sir Ben Kingsley's here. So now in my mind, he's there. He's going to be – like, people are going to be upset because we're – but there's anything –
And Joan and I certainly can't talk to him on our own.
So you could have.
No, we really couldn't.
But so we're sprinting as hard as we can, and we're running in the street with the buses, and the first security person out there, totally doing their job, you're not supposed to be here. I know, I'm sorry. Run right past her. She's like, all right. The second guy, kind of gets in the way. We have to run around, but he was very abrasive. So his tone, he goes, he's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, shit.
We're like, and I go, I'm so sorry. I'm late. In my head, I don't have time to explain. I just got out of hosting a panel. I'm waiting. I have to get to Ben Kingsley's. Like, there's all these facts, and I'm running. So I just go, I'm late for a show, which just sounds like, oh, there's a show. And he goes, I don't give a fuck like that. And I kind of stop. And I turn around. And I go, who the fuck? You know, I know I said not who the fuck. I said, don't you fucking talk to us like that, asshole. Which is the most confrontational thing I've said to anyone this entire year.
Yeah.
And then I ran away, and I felt so bad. But I couldn't go back and go, you know, I'm really sorry. Yeah. I just...
Wouldn't you have felt a little better inside if you, while running away, you had said, cool story, bro.
That would have at least been funny.
You just
but
hear, the,
I
just hear
like,
way off in the distance, point.
I just feel like I was, you know, like I responded in a he was very confrontational, but I feel like, yeah, but he was just doing his job.
Yeah, you get hit by a bus, that's on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I feel like I was the dick in that situation, even though he came very aggressively, but he was doing his job. And,
yeah, and
I felt,
he probably saw you dodge around
and
another person.
I felt really bad. I felt really bad afterwards, but there was no – but I didn't get a good enough look at him, so I could – and I am the type of person that I will go back and apologize and go like, you know what? I was rushed, and I'm really sorry, and that was my fault. So wherever you are, event staff security guy out there who clearly doesn't listen to the podcast because But I'm
maybe
genuinely
he does.
Sorry.
This was his chance.
I'm genuinely sorry. But I don't respond to people that way. Like that's that was.
Well,
that was,
I think it's a different situation. You're not expecting that someone's like that to you. You're
I don't know. I was just I was super stressed because I was running. So and we sprinted the whole way. Like,
and it was
seven
the start
blocks.
Of your run too.
And
it worked out.
Almost ran directly onto stage. You know, it was one of those.
Yeah.
Like, threw my stuff down, peed real fast, ran out on stage. Hey everyone.
Yeah.
Let's start the podcast. Yeah. So it was,
and then you like destroyed that interview. It was fucking,
oh, it was so much fun.
And it was like
was
for you to just literally
interviews.
Run and then just like have a thoughtful interview with Sir Ben Kingsley. Like I was kind of like, yeah, this is like a legit. This is fucking Charlie Rose right now.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
No,
well, I appreciate
John and
that.
I both said to each other privately, like I was like, oh, that might be his best interview.
Yeah, no, we really were just kind of like
we were both like, wow,
he was so
yeah, because you were good at like. Like, it's like, you know, like, expand on this, or like, it's like, it was just like these, you were using these kid gloves to just like put
you were
them
in a zone. I don't know if it was
like a week
panel hosting zone that you would like got into, but you were in
but
like
it was
this
cool.
weird
Good
interview
job. I appreciate
zone
that.
Where like, you know, when you're in free flow in Arkham Knight, you know, and Batman's just flying, he can fly across the room and punch someone in the fucking face.
Yeah.
That was you with questions, bro.
Yeah.
You were at like a 53
I
combo.
Wish, I wish people could see the face that Jonah's making right now. I wish people could see your face.
Yeah. That's it.
But
it was really
good. And honestly, when that last show was done, I only had one small panel. The Sanjay and Craig panel was the next day, which was very breezy because I didn't have to host it. We were just there reading an episode.
Oh, fun.
But when we finished that second podcast, I felt so good and so proud of the work everyone had done and so touched that, you know, we sold out like a stand-up show and two podcast shows. Yeah. I mean, that was really – Balboa is a big theater. So it just – between that and the Nerdist stuff and the panels and seeing you guys down there doing great stuff, it just – I was stressed the whole time it was happening. Afterwards, I got all wistful like, oh, my God, you guys. Like, we really – we all – like, everyone did a nice job and Comic-Con was really great this year. So
yeah, my ninth year.
It's – I feel like this was my 12th maybe at San Diego, but it's – and the fucking crazy thing is before we know it, we'll be in those elevators at the Bayfront again. Like, we were just here.
Yeah.
You'll be in the Bayfront. I'll be 95 miles away.
The important question is, did you buy any Finnish left-handed guitars?
No, they didn't. They didn't have anything I didn't have.
No, the wood was raw.
There was three.
No, don't do all your dancing moves right now that people can't see.
It's for you guys. Sometimes stuff is just for us.
Well, then why is the microphone up to your face?
Well, that's
because it's just sitting on my dick.
But we're
my dick. It's on your dick.
Lydia gave me this as a present.
Vagina book? Oh, cunt coloring book.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The cunt coloring book, which was a sex ed book from the 70s. And it's just a coloring book of just different
Majoras and minors.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really amazing. She's great. She was like,
yeah,
I thought this was great, so I got this for her. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, she's really cool. I like her a lot.
Where are my crayons? Oh, did you guys have fun?
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
It was a good time. Yeah, we had our our moment in the Tower of Terror, or it was just the two of us like on a ride?
Emily and I couldn't. I couldn't do Tower of Terror because we had just eaten, and I didn't. I felt my stomach felt sloshy enough that it was like,
I've been there.
I don't think I'll throw up, but I know I'll feel bad for like an hour afterwards. Yeah. So and Emily didn't want to do it because it's not her favorite kind of ride. And Jonah and Lydia were both like, "It's our favorite ride."
Yeah.
So it's they both did it. And the picture afterwards, because it was just the two of them in it alone, Lydia's sitting in the front and Jonah's in the back corner, and it looks like you're either a creep or a ghost.
Like, yeah, I kind of wish I would have like thought out, like I was like, I only thought, I was like, oh, it's so funny if we sit as far apart as we can. But then I realized like we could have put some kind of like narrative or joke onto it where it's like me like staring at her, you know, from the back.
Yeah.
That would have been really funny.
Just enjoy the ride.
I know.
You know, that's life, really, when you boil it
just
down.
Just boiling it down.
Boiling those peanuts.
Distill it to its cleanest peanut.
Look at his head. It looks like a peanut. You remember that?
No.
It was from Idiocracy.
Oh,
President Camacho.
Yes.
So look at his head. Look at a little peanut.
Was that the president? That was the president.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Terry Crews.
So good.
Yeah, listen. Shit's fucked up right now.
I don't know if we've seen anything. Oh my god, we started watching Mr. Robot last night.
People like it.
It's fucking great. The first episode, like within a minute, you're like, yeah. I get the show and I fucking love the show.
I don't want to watch any new TV show until Ash and the Evil Dead premieres.
That trailer looks so good.
God, I've watched it so many times. So funny.
I can't wait. It's
gonna
be
so gory. It looks so good. We watched Creep, the new Patrick Bryce,
yep,
Mark Duplass.
I saw that
movie.
Too.
That's a fun one.
That's a fucking fantastic movie. I loved that movie.
Yeah.
The thing that I loved about that movie is that it just shows you that with the right couple of people, you could just make. I mean, the movie's an hour and 17 minutes long.
Yeah,
it's all shot. I mean, I don't want to scare anyone away. It's not found footage, but it's shot via like video cam.
Yeah,
but in a way that makes sense.
It does make sense. Only a couple moments you're like, why don't they have the camera with them in this moment? But
I think you kind of have to.
At that point, it's so far into the movie that you're like, ah, yeah, it's fine.
We saw a fun horror movie last night called Splinter that was pretty fun.
Nice.
It's
about this guy that raises teenage turtles.
No, that would be so good. That would be so good if someone just did a Splinter standalone movie. Like, where does Splinter come from?
Splinter standalone.
Yeah, a Splinter origin story.
That'd be pretty good.
I hear he's going to appear in Captain America: Civil War.
You could, but yeah. So Splinter was really good. But Mr. Robot's really great. It's
Tangerine's supposed to be pretty good.
Haven't watched that yet.
Made shot on iPhones.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, you could do that now.
And it's kind of getting a lot of notices because it also has. Transgender actors in it as opposed to cis people playing transgender. So,
well done.
Yeah.
What are you going to do this week?
Going to Boston.
You're traveling again?
Shipping up to Boston?
And then I'm home for
Why do you have to come home?
Why do I have to come home between the two? Because we have podcasts that are scheduled that I was like, I better go to those podcasts because I'm going to miss some podcasts otherwise.
Oh, man, I feel bad that you're coming all the way back.
Listen,
you
got a host full on the fucking calendar. I can't miss those.
We don't have to do it. I don't want you to have to travel all that way just for that.
It's happening. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
It's fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Who's the other one? Is there another one that you're scheduled for?
The next interview I'm doing is Monica Lewinsky. That's her first interview since Barbara Walters.
For Wired?
In the late 90s, yeah.
Amazing.
And then there's some other stuff that's happening. And then, and I'm home for a little while. And then I think I'm going with them, with the Wired folks and the Nokia folks, to CTIA this year.
Oh, good.
Which is in Vegas.
The Wired folks are great. I'm glad you guys are working together. I think it's a perfect fit to have you guys work together. Are you going to be back for...
I might not make – if we get Patrick Stewart, I might not make it for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is kind of really annoying me.
I know. That's sort of a
– If it happens on the Wednesday that there's a hold on, then yes. But if it doesn't, then I won't be able to.
I asked Will to come on too.
I'm going to miss Will. I'm going to miss Gelman.
Will and I both – I just joined the Magic Castle, and Will had just joined too. So I went Friday night, mm-hmm. my first night as a member of the Magic Castle.
It was really
fun.
You get a discounted parking, right?
I think so.
That's pretty sweet.
He doesn't know what parking costs.
It's Chris Hardwick. It's several dollars. But yeah, the Patrick Stewart one, hopefully that works out.
Yeah, I hope so.
But I hope hopefully you can be there for that.
It's fine. I'm sure he'll be around many more years.
And we'll have him say something to you if you're not here.
Oh, boy.
Hello, Matt.
Oh.
No, what's what was it? Alpha 39.
Oh, to get out of the situation.
I'd have to explain it to him.
Yeah, I think you can explain it really fast.
Well, you guys can explain it for me.
No, hopefully you'll be here for that. Yeah. We'll hopefully have you then.
Well, you know.
I'll only have X-Men questions for that guy.
Yeah. it's just like this this month I'm only home for 6 days in July.
Yeah.
I'm only at the house for 6 days. And 5 of those days, Dory's not here.
Mm.
It's like, so it's interesting traveling this much. I don't know really how you do it.
It's, first of all, Katie, it's the phone is about to ring. Can you please answer it and tell the Uber driver that I'll be out in a minute?
Yes.
And then just cut this part out.
The phone is about to ring.
Where are you going?
He's going to the Magic Castle.
Dinner. Oh. But I had a rent a car that I had to turn in. So I just got.
What'd you rent a car for?
To drive.
Oh, to fit your fucking luggage in, yeah.
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 Oh, that's right. Yeah, you don't want to be driving around. That's a bad road trip car.
No, it's a Grand Tourer. It should be a fine road trip car, but if you're going to have luggage with it,
you can't bring stuff around.
No, but it's a GT. It's a Grand Tourer. It's meant to be driven long distances.
Oh.
Problem is, you're going to be staying for a few days. You're going to need bigger trunk space.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know.
Can you come in that trunk space?
You come in that trunk space?
Oh, yeah.
Fill it up?
Bro, I don't think.
You fill it up in one squeeze.
Squeeze.
Yeah.
That's so.
Yo, so, man, all I need is the cup holder.
Yeah. Pussy wagon talking, Jonah.
You just shoot some ropes in that trunk, yo.
Dropping white ropes.
Dropping ropes in that trunk.
Oh, my God. I ran into Boyd Vico at the sci-fi party.
Oh, nice.
I fucking love Boyd.
I love Boyd so much.
Oh, man. To have them on.
Man, I got.
We've been saying that for 5 years. We should have them on.
I got dinner with him and his sister.
Yeah.
And it was like great hearing all his sister's point of view with all the stories. So fucking rad.
Oh, that's great.
That picture of him as Nightcrawler is.
Yeah. Just sexy Nightcrawler.
It's like a 14 year old Nightcrawler being all sad.
Everyone thought he was Papa Smurf.
People listening have not seen this picture. It's so amazing.
It's the best fucking picture.
And his picture reaction is like, his reaction to everything is the best. Yeah. Well, never again.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you listening, picture 90s, early 90s, late 80s Nightcrawler, that outfit with the red and the black, and then picture a child in that outfit with his face completely painted blue.
Striking a sassy
pose. His butt's sticking out. He's doing a...
And now imagine all the kids at school not knowing what the fuck Nightcrawler is.
Because you know how accepting children are of anything.
What's so funny
different.
Is, like, I've seen that picture so many times. Because, like, every once in a while, D will just send it to me.
The mental image of that picture is fantastic.
It's just fucking seared. But then, we were hanging out, and then I go, I'm with his sister. I was like, hey, you're in that picture, too. What are you dressed as? And she's like, oh, I was fat. Oh, no. I was like, oh, my God, you're horrible. And then your boy just like, oh, geez, I guess that's should be more embarrassing, but it's
yeah, we gotta have them on.
Yeah, because they can promote the
reactor.
Great.
The Huntsberger show.
Done.
Yeah.
Done. Boyd and Brad.
Yeah.
Boyd Vico and Brad Stevens, you're coming on the podcast.
Yay.
And I guess that's it.
Great.
Thanks for coming in after all your travels to do a Hostful Matthew.
No problem.
Oh, you said you don't know how I travel that much.
No, I really don't.
I don't know. I think you get into a rhythm, but when you break the rhythm, it kind of gets a little hard to get back onto it.
Yeah.
So it is. But
no, it's interesting. Like, I think it's just at least you'd be home for a few days between things, and they'd be spaced out on weekends. Mine's just going like it's bleeding into everything. Fucking
yeah, that's I've done those before.
Week.
Where you like fly from one place to do a thing, but you fly to another place to do another thing, and then back to another. And
oh
like,
boy,
it's gnarly.
Yeah, but you know, it's
but I'm racking up those motherfucking miles.
How many miles?
420 miles. It's worth it, though. I feel like...
I did get a weird email from Virgin America about my flight to or back from Boston, where they just emailed
me,
Matt,
it's Virgin America. Do you want to just make us America?
My joke was going to be like, man, we got to get Virgin America laid.
Oh, no.
I want to get Virgin America laid, guys.
Cut to a Virgin America plane with a pair of glasses with tape on the middle.
Covered in ropes.
Protector.
Montage. In the end... In the end, it turns out that Virgin Atlantic was the right girl for him.
But they sent me a...
For British flights only.
I just booked a regular ticket, and then they sent me an email that was like, hey, bid on an upgrade.
Bid
on an upgrade.
So they basically have you fighting with other
I don't know.
Passengers?
I don't know if it's like, what are they doing? Why don't they just offer me the upgrade? I don't want to bid.
Yeah,
what if
just
I,
pay
what
for
if
it.
I lowball them? Also, the other thing about it too is like they're like for main cabin select, which is you know, Virgin.
Gotta get those.
Huge waste of money because it's regular seats.
You seem to have opposite sides of the.
Do you really think main cabin select is worth the ridiculous extra money?
Yeah, you get more room.
You get more leg room, which is great for you, but you can also do
Jonas
exit row.
Yeah,
exit
I need
row for $75 and you're fine.
No, but here's the other thing.
Yeah,
you get all the free food you want, all the free movies you want.
Yeah, but
that's how I've like. That's why on flights I blaze through like three movies. Right when I sit down, I start a movie. I get three in on each flight.
But the movies are like
you get three in there.
Like
a three in there. It was well, I can smell my movie watcher fingers.
Oh shit, those movies.
But anyway, so the thing that I don't know is like if you bid for it, they don't tell you if you're sitting in the middle or what. So I could just end up with a middle seat. Instead of my sweet window seat.
Next time I'm in a middle seat, I'm just going to, on a loop, play Stuck in the Middle with You by Bob Dylan, and then just wait for someone to switch with me.
I think that's actually Steeler's Wheel, who were making fun of Bob Dylan, led by Jerry Rafferty.
Oh, shit, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
That song.
Can we cut that out? That's quite embarrassing.
No,
leave it in.
I think it's fun.
Because
wow, I don't think
crazy.
A lot of people
leave it in DJ Jonah Ray.
DJ Child Catcher in the house.
They wrote that. They made that song to basically like tease Bob Dylan.
Oh wow,
is the story that I heard. So that's why that's why he's doing that. That's why Jerry Rafferty.
Shit. I guess like when you only passively listen to classic rock, this is a kind of a response you get.
But I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
And the people who don't think that, I don't think they realize what the backstory is. So there
you go. But when it comes to Bob Dylan songs, it doesn't compare to my favorites. Free Fallin', Last Dance with Mary Jane.
You know something? Enjoy a burrito!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode...
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now, in hardcover or digital editions, wherever you get your books.